Graham v. Exxon. Mr. Seliger.
May it please the Court. My name is Stephen Seliger, and I represent David Hamm, who is the plaintiff appellant in this case. I wanted to very, very briefly just talk about the facts, which basically are admitted by both sides. Mr. Hamm had worked for 30 years at Exxon and had done various jobs as a machinist, technician, and for a short time a mechanic. He took a leave of absence in 2000 because of carpal tunnel, had surgery during the time off, and during the entire time that he was off for 2.5 years or so, he was on their disability plan. So there's no question that he was disabled. There's no question that the company regarded him as disabled and that he was entitled to benefits. So this is not a situation where a lot of the cases in the court where someone took off time because they had a minor problem or the company recognized, and he did submit doctor's information consistently concerning his situation. He had LASIK surgery, and as a result of that, severely injured his eye, and that required a cornea transplant. The doctor recommended that he not go back to work for a year until the surgery. He did go back to work, and at the time he went back to work in December of 2001.
What's a transportation specialist?
A transportation specialist would be working
in the... Is that what his job was?
Well, no, before he left, he had a whole series of jobs. He was for 30 years.
What was a transportation specialist?
I think a transportation, as I understand it, you work in the garage, and
a guy that drives a car, for instance.
I'm sorry?
A guy that drives a car is a transportation specialist.
I think he could, yes. He had to have...
Makes sense.
He had to have a CDC, federal standards required certain eyesight. And once he had the cornea transplant, he could no longer. I think he had 20/70.
Federal standards are for people who drive heavy trucks on interstate highways. Is that what he did?
No, I don't believe he did that. But
why did he need the federal?
That was the company rule. The company rule was that he was, when he did go back in September of 2002, the company rejected him because he had 20/70 eyesight.
But would that just pertain to working as a transportation specialist?
Yes, I believe so.
So were there other openings for him, other jobs he could have done?
The other opening was as a, quote, field mechanic. And a field mechanic was a job that required very heavy, strenuous work.
That was the only job available.
That's what they claimed.
But you must be arguing that he could perform the work of a field mechanic, right?
No. At that time, he had not fully... He had cancer surgery.
A company doesn't have to employ someone who can't do the job with or without an accommodation, right?
Well,
so you must be arguing that he could do some job. He couldn't be a transportation specialist, but he could be a field mechanic. That's the only other thing open to him. First of all,
I think the company could have given him a little bit more time off to recover. His doctor asked for one more month, and the company responded saying that you must come back to work, quote, without restriction, which would mean to me without any accommodation, number one. Number two, he had some question because he was very severely fatigued and could not do physical work. And the other thing is that the work did require a mask.
Now you're losing me completely.
Right.
If a person can't do the job for which there is an opening, then he has no case, right? He has to be able to do the job.
Couldn't he ask for
an accommodation? Now you have to specify what is the reasonable accommodation.
In this situation, it would be a very distinct period of time that he would be off to recover from the cancer.
The accommodation is don't come to work.
For a specific period of time backed by medical evidence in order for him to regain his strength. He had 35 radiation treatments. He lost 60 pounds. He was getting better, but he wasn't better enough to do the job of field mechanic.
And which means he was not a person qualified to do the job with a disability.
at that point, he wasn't, except that with an accommodation, with an additional specific time off.
So how long?
Well, the doctor said 1 month, and they never asked him how much longer. They sent him a note saying, if you don't come back to work within the end of the month without restriction. And I wanted to make one other point. When he did meet with the company before he became a field mechanic, they did say they would make him, quote, a helper, which is an easier job, and that's stipulated in the record, and that he wouldn't have to work overtime. So he said he'd give it a try. He went back to work, and on the second day of being back to work as a field mechanic, they told him that they were going to do what they call a turnaround, which basically is heavy cleaning, I guess, of these giant tanks.
I find your argument extremely vague. Can't you be a little more precise? First, you said that the only job open was a field mechanic. Now you're talking about a helper's job.
No, that was as a field mechanic. In other words, he asked for, he said, I don't think that I can do the full duties of a field mechanic. And they said, okay. And he also said, I don't think I could work overtime, which field mechanics did from time to time. And they said, okay, we'll make you a helper, which is less strenuous, and you don't have to work any overtime.
Another job category, a helper.
It's not. It's part of being a field mechanic. Whether it's another job category, I really don't know.
A lesser included offense.
Excuse me?
A lesser included offense.
It's just a lesser.
Now is your argument that they should have given him this job as a helper for at least a month? Is that what you're arguing?
No. Here's what happened. He went back. And on the second day of work, they told him that there would be a, quote, turnaround, which meant that what
but what is it you want them to have done? Can't you be...
Well, I would want... First of all, I would want them to have not required him to have worked overtime, which they said he had to. I would have liked them to have tried at least to give him an opportunity to be a helper, but they didn't do that. They said there's going to be this turnaround, and you have to...
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a turnaround. Now, when you have a turnaround, is there a role for a helper in a turnaround?
Yes, I'm sure there is. Everyone has to work, but it's much more strenuous work than...
Yes, I know, but the...
Yeah.
The turnaround is strenuous. Now, what about the role of a helper in a turnaround?
It's less strenuous.
Is there a role for someone...
As far as I know, yes.
As far as you know, how about...
Well, Your Honor, I didn't try this case.
Well, that's no excuse.
Well, I'm going on what is in the record, and the record states that the work of a helper as helper field mechanic is less strenuous than the work of a field mechanic.
So your argument is that the accommodation they should have offered him was to allow him to be a helper during the turnaround.
And not to work, not
what
to have to work, and not to have to work overtime. They specifically told him he would not have to work overtime, and the turnaround required extensive overtime.
Would a helper in a turnaround have to work overtime?
Everyone has to work overtime.
But now you're saying there's no job for anyone who doesn't do overtime.
He could work the regular hours.
You're driving me nuts. Look,
I don't mean to be driving you nuts.
Is there
more
a
like
role
a
for a helper in a person? And you say a helper is someone who doesn't do as strenuous work and doesn't do overtime. Then I ask you whether, is there a role for such a person in a turnaround?
Yes.
You say no, because in a turnaround, you said everybody works overtime, including the helpers.
Right. He was not. The reason is because they told him he wasn't a helper. He
turnaround works overtime.
Your Honor,
he can't work in a turnaround.
When he went, he was not even on the list to be a helper.
Look, would you
They didn't do what they promised him. My time is up, I see.
Look, answer my question.
Yeah, sure.
In a turnaround, is there a role for someone who does not do overtime?
I don't know that the record shows that. The record shows that everyone has to work overtime.
Then the answer is no. Right.
Then the answer is no, but it's...
Well, the record says, if the record shows that, then the answer is no. Right,
but there's no evidence to specifically what a helper can do during a turnaround.
But if the record shows in a turnaround everybody has to work overtime, then the answer to Judge Posner's question is no.
Based on the record, which is incomplete, I would say yes.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Poplawski?
May it please the Court, my name is Carol Poplawski. I represent the defendant at Belay ExxonMobil Corporation. During the turnaround period, everybody is required to work overtime. The whole purpose of it is it's for a short period of time, usually 2 weeks, where they have to shut down all the equipment and do maintenance on it so they don't have catastrophic breakdowns of equipment during their normal operations. Another question that the Court had posed is, what is a transportation specialist? The transportation specialist out at the Joliet Refinery, it operates all the equipment, the heavy equipment, the overhead cranes, and the large machinery that they have out there. It is a company requirement that those drivers of those machineries comply with the federal regulations, similar to the commercial driver's license, including the vision requirements. It really isn't an issue here that when he came back after his various conditions, that his eyesight indisputably prevented him from meeting the eye standards that the company required. So returning to the transportation specialist wasn't an option, but they did offer him when they looked for openings, and they had an opening as a field mechanic. He had had a long history of working as a mechanic in his prior years of employment. It's also on the same machinery that he drove as a transportation specialist. So they offered it to him. It is, I think, critical and undisputed that when they offered him this position, they told him, this is the only job we have. Do you want to try it? And his first response was, well, I'd rather go on long-term disability leave. And they said,
I didn't hear you. Response was what?
I want to go on long-term disability. And they said, well, you can't because your doctor cleared you to return to work without any restrictions. His own doctor, Dr. Hollister, cleared him. It's in the record. Clearing October 2nd of 2002, you can return to work without any restrictions. You can wear a face mask. And when he returned to work, he was also had an examination by the company's medical department, and the medical department also tested him for the face mask, and the face mask wasn't an issue. And then once they found out that his eyesight prevented him from returning as a transportation specialist because it wasn't up to the standards yet, then they found the field mechanic, and then the in-house medical department tested him on the requirements of the field mechanic job to see if he could physically perform it, and he could. And they tested him again for the face mask and said he could wear a full face mask. So there were no issues. And at that time, which is the time that he's complaining that he was disabled, there's no evidence whatsoever that he had any substantial limitation of a major life activity. The issue I see, and I know it was raised in the briefs a lot, but I don't really see this as a case where it's an inartful brief writing or that there was a cavalier decision by the district court below in picking the major life activity of working. This is a rare case where all the evidence and information is in the hands of the plaintiffs. What's your physical impairment and what...
Mr. Seliger says that he needed another month to complete his recovery. So the accommodation would be allowing him to remain on leave for another month.
What they did at the time they got that note from his doctor...
He wasn't being paid, was he?
No, he had exhausted the paid time off, but he had some...
Why not give him a month of leave without pay to get his strength back?
They gave him the remaining unpaid time off he had available, which was 2 weeks, and then after that he needed 2 more weeks, and they didn't give that. And the reason is because it would, based on his experience, it would have been a futile gesture. And there's nothing in the record that he would have ever been able to return to work after that 1 month. What happened when he returned to work, they offered him the field mechanic job. He said, I'd like to go on long-term disability instead. And they said, well, you can't. You're recovered from everything, and your doctor's released you to return to work. We have this job for you. He came the first day. The second day, they posted the schedule for the turnaround, and it was there that he saw under the turnaround schedule he'd have to work overtime. He never worked overtime those first 3 days back at work, but immediately when he saw that, he called his doctor, and he, there's this turnaround scheduled. And his doctor said, okay, well, no overtime. And then the next day, he went to another doctor who said, well, no overtime and no wearing a face mask. And then finally, he went to the third day, he went back to his first doctor, and he said, I don't think I can do this coming up work because it's a lot of work and it's overtime. I don't think I'm up to it. He never tried it. He just didn't think he was up to it. Can you give me another month off from work? And his doctor said, sure, and wrote him a note for another month off of work. And that's where we were. At that point, he'd been off almost 3 years. The company said, well, we do have some unpaid time off. He still hasn't exhausted. We'll give him those 2 weeks, but you've got to return to work. We need people working out there, not off.
How long was he off?
Almost 3 years. And there's no issue here that the first two, first was the carpal tunnel. Then while he was off on carpal tunnel, he had the Lasix, and there was a problem, and he had to have the cornea transplant. Those have never been alleged to be the physical impairments on which this case is based. The underlying charge of discrimination, which is attached to the complaint, alleges the physical impairment was the what we learned in discovery, the March diagnosis, the March of 02 diagnosis of the cancer. But that was treated with surgery and radiation, and he got a clean bill and released to return to work from his physician. And that's where
What about the following possible argument that he thought he could go back to work, but he did. But when he realized that it would involve overtime, he realized he wasn't strong enough for that. So he needed another month to recuperate before he could do work involving overtime.
Well, it was not anything that was supported by medical documentation until he gave the subjective information to his doctor, I don't think I can do it. And number two, he wasn't disabled at that point. So if he's not disabled, we don't have a duty to accommodate it. And the fact that we, for 3 years, allowed him to take advantage of various benefit and leave entitlements and keep him employed does not mean that at some point we can't say enough is enough. You've really used all your leave entitlements, and this is the end of the road. It's also undisputed on the record that he never once, when he saw that schedule, nobody ordered him to work overtime, and he never did. He just saw the schedule posted, which showed overtime for everybody, and he never went to his supervisor and said, can I not work the overtime? He just got a note from his doctor saying, you need to be off another month. So to the extent that there was any duty to accommodate, he would have failed in that process as well by looking at other alternatives to keep him in the work site working and not just off on leave for further extended periods of time.
Okay. Thank you, Ms.
Poplowski.
Mr. Seliger, you can have a minute if you have anything further.
I'll take a minute. I would just say that the doctor did say, the company did say that he had to work without restriction. The doctor's notes that were submitted during this.
What's his so Ms. Poplowski said he didn't really have a disability.
But I think he did. He
if you can't work overtime, and if you can't satisfy the federal safety standards for a commercial driver's license, that doesn't mean you're disabled, right?
No.
We just had a case involving the federal safety standards that even if working is a life activity, that's not a sufficient impairment to.
What the record shows is that he couldn't perform physical tasks more than maybe a half an hour, that he couldn't walk, stand, lift, climb.
I'm lost. I thought it was the overtime he objected to, that he was.
No, he just couldn't.
Happy to work if he could just 8 hours a day.
It was the whole ball of wax that he didn't have the strength to do that heavy job, which included overtime. He just could not do that physically because he had just come back. He lost 60 pounds, came back from 35 radiation treatments not too far before that, and he just at that point couldn't do that. And it's clear that not being able to do. And the other thing was concerning, he had his saliva glands removed. And during the turnaround,
a temporary inability to work is not a disability.
Well, Your Honor said in Van Zandt that a temporary disability, which is the manifestation of a more serious permanent disability, such as cancer, can be regarded as a disability.
No, but if you break your leg, right, you're disabled for a period of time. But that's not a disability under the ADA.
That's true, but this.
You recover completely. Now, people do recover completely from cancer, right?
Right.
And then they're not disabled anymore.
But he hadn't recovered.
So cancer as such is not. He hadn't recovered yet, but you're just saying he needed another month.
He needed time to recover in order to do this heavy physical work.
That's a temporary disability, right?
I'm sorry?
That's a temporary disability.
It's a temporary leave of absence because he has.
Suppose some irascible employer fires a person who's broken his leg, even though the fellow will be fine in 2 weeks, right? That doesn't violate the ADA.
I think that if it's a manifestation of an underlying more serious condition and you're in the process of recuperating and as a result...
Cancer is a very serious disease, but it is not disabling per se. It can be, but apparently it's not in this case.
But in this case, he couldn't do anything physical for more than a half an hour. Walk, stand. It's more than a broken leg. I would say that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Pelosi.